I stepped into a youth group unlike any other that I had ever met in my life. This group of kids were so passionate and so on fire for God that it kind of scared me. I had a 16-year-old girl invite me out to ice cream one day. I went because I like ice cream, but she asked me, the first question out of her mouth was, "What are your passions?" I did not expect that coming from a 16-year-old, and I thought if this was any inclination of how my summer was going to be, I was terrified. Went on. I was involved in the weekly staff meetings, planning vacation Bible school, which I hated, organizing the youth activities and outings, and I played more frisbee golf than I ever cared to admit, and I still don't understand the point of that game. I organized many, many parent meetings and so, so much more. I had this group of middle school girls. It was like a cult following. They followed me everywhere, everywhere. And then I had this group of teenage boys that took it upon themselves to play every possible prank on me they could. I came back, I came out to the parking lot one day and found that they had painted all of my windows, all of them. And, you know, with teenage boys, everything has to be about poop. Every window is poop is written on my windows. But I had the privilege of leading the youth worship service, and I got to bring to them a message that meant an awful lot to me. After the message was over, I asked this girl, Christina, the girl who asked me what my passions were, to close us in prayer. And I wish that you all could have been there to hear the prayer that came out of this girl. She started at the front of this group of 40 kids, and she starts praying and pacing. She starts, and she's praying, and the more she prays, the louder she gets. And she's pacing faster and faster. And she starts circling the kids, the whole group. By the time she said amen, she was in the middle of everybody and had poured her heart and soul into a prayer that I've heard preachers that can't pray like this girl. And she just kept going and going, praying for the youth, the kids that weren't there, for me, the leaders, and our church. 2 days after that, I had left for vacation, and I get a phone call that brought that entire youth group to their knees. Don, one of the youth leaders, he had a heart attack and passed away. This guy was a father figure to so many of these kids. 2 days later, after that, I get another phone call that Josh, one of the boys in our middle school program, had committed suicide in his front yard. We walked back in from vacation into a meeting of the pastors of the church. Me, Pastor Chris, the senior pastor, Gerald, the youth minister, and Pastor Tom and Pastor Tony, two old retired pastors that were members of the church. And let me tell you, these two guys, they were so, so special to me when I was there. But in this time, I had 685 text messages on my phone from all these kids looking to me for answers that I never knew that I had. And all of these text messages, because they're teenagers, came between the time of midnight and 2 a.m, because teenagers don't care that you're sleeping. But I saw, before I left, I saw this youth group rise up again, not because of anything that we could have done for them, but because God was there and used us to take care of them in ways that we never could on our own. Now, in my life, I've had plenty of people, I've been very, very blessed that with people that I consider to be spiritual leaders in my life. I'm not going to talk about all of them because, well, we don't have enough time in a day, but I'm going to talk about one, my friend Justin Inverso. Back in high school, Justin was the FCA president all 4 years. At Pasco High School, he was the only kid in the entire history to hold the office of president in any club as a freshman. But when you hear about him, you'll understand why. In addition to all of that, he was voted most liked by the student body and most likely to succeed. He was the captain of the swim team, and he taught the fourth grade Sunday school class at church. The scripture that I chose to talk about today is Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, and it says this: "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace and seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everybody." Let's look at that again. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. So what does that look like? Is it standing out on a street corner, preaching at people at a stoplight, or standing on a park bench, reciting scripture to anyone that's going to listen to you? Or is it simply expressing your faith in your daily life, letting Christ's love permeate through your daily actions toward everyone you encounter? Now, I'm being a little facetious here, but as Christians, we're called to be decidedly different, to be disciples in the world, but not of the world. And people should be able to look at us without even asking and know that we're Christians just by the way we carry ourselves. So do we actually do this? Do we actually take every opportunity that's placed before us to share our faith with everyone we encounter? When I was in the eighth grade, I had this friend, her name was Marie Bevins. Marie always told me that she was Catholic. It wasn't until a little later in art class that I found out that she had never been inside of a church, Catholic or otherwise. And Marie was a curious case, but one day I walked in and I was wearing a t-shirt that had scripture written on the back of it from a mission trip that we had been on over the summer. And she read my shirt, and she looked at me, and she said, "You're one of those Bible thumpers, aren't you?" Okay. I had never in my life preached at this girl, quoted scripture to her. I didn't even invite her to church, but I was a Bible thumper. I mean, clearly it was a compliment, but in the eighth grade, you just don't know how to take something like that. In that moment, she had a curiosity in my faith, and I had the opportunity, and I practiced it out in my head, and I looked at her, and I said, "Marie, you know what? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the one that created the entire universe and everything in it, and he sent his son to die on that cross to save me of my sins, and I would forever have a place in heaven waiting on me, and all I had to do was accept him as my savior and invite him into my life." I didn't say that. It sounded good. I didn't say that. In all of the awkwardness that is my life, I could not put my thoughts into those words that anyone except for me would understand. I did the only thing I was 100% confident that I knew how to do, and I wore a t-shirt. At that time, I had about a Christian t-shirts alone. I had about a two-week span, and I wore them every day, a new shirt. Every day, Marie would read my shirt. Sometimes we would talk about it. Most of the time, we didn't. Eighth grade came and went. And we went on to high school. And Pasco High School, there was over 1,000 kids at Pasco High School. I didn't see Marie every day like I used to. I didn't know what had happened to her until she walked in to Justin's FCA meeting Friday morning before school even started, carrying a Bible in her hand. And she told me that she had read more of the Bible off the back of my t-shirts than she had in her entire life. So what's the point? My point is that sharing your faith does not have to be an extravagant gesture. Sometimes you don't have to say anything at all. Paul says that we should be wise in the way we act toward outsiders. The simple fact of the matter is that very, very few people have ever been argued into Christianity because it's crazy. Oftentimes, when we talk about what it means to be a Christian, we give off this air of superiority, like we're better than you, and we do it in the most hypocritical way that we can. Judgmental, in fact. People are not drawn to Christianity by what we have to say about it. People are drawn to Christianity by our actions, how we act towards those people that are the outsiders, the ones outside these walls. We never bring people in by condemning their beliefs or lack of. People are not drawn in by us telling them that they're living their lives all wrong because they already know that. We must know when it is time to talk about our faith and when and what being a Christian means. And we must know when it is time to be quiet and let our actions speak for ourselves. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this: there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. It's a lot like fly fishing. I love, love, love fly fishing. Now, when you're fly fishing, there's a lot you have to keep in mind. There's so many little tricks. And on days when the air is real still and the water looks like a sheet of glass, you have to work the water. You have to cast your fly out, and that first cast is everything. You want to have it make a pop on the surface of the water and kind of let the fish know that you're there, and they come. And likewise, there's days when there's just a gentle breeze and there's a nice little ripple on the water, and you cast your fly out, and all you have to do is let it sit. And the motion on the ripples of the water, come, they come. There's a time for the noise from our mouth and a time for our lives to speak for themselves. If we as Christians are living this out in our daily lives, as Paul instructed the Colossians to do, then why is it that people have such an unfavorable view of Christians? Why is it that there are so many people that don't have a faith or belief in God, and so many more that had never even heard about him? Is it because they've never had the chance encounter with a Christian? Because that seems highly unlikely. Or is it because we've been failing? We've been failing to seize every opportunity that's placed before us. Folks, we don't live it. We don't live our faith. People are never going to be in these pews if we continue the way we are. we don't live our faith inside these walls. So what makes us think we're doing any better outside? We just play church. You know, we go through the motions. People aren't going to be in these seats by our snarky looks and hateful comments. And people are never going to want to be here with us. Sorry. If we continue the way we are. We fill these seats with Christ's love. We fill it in our hearts, in our actions, the way we act towards people outside these walls. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. I've missed more of these opportunities than I ever care to admit. Whether it be because I didn't see the opportunity at the time, I just missed it, or because I saw it and I didn't want to mess with it. My time was too important. I had better things to do. It's not the way it should be, but after all, we're only human, right? When Justin talked to us about this scripture, he challenged us to live a life for Christ, one in which his love was expressed in our daily interactions with everyone we encountered. I think he's the only one that I've ever encountered that made an honest effort to live this out. After high school, Justin went on to USF and majored in engineering. And while he was doing that, he was working at Adventure Islands, and that's a water park, for those of you that don't know, in Tampa, Florida. And he was a lifeguard on the Key West Rapids, a 775-foot water slide in the middle of the greatest water park I've ever been to. Now, I should note that Tampa, Florida is the lightning strike capital of the world. There's more documented lightning strikes in Tampa than there is any other place. And every day in the summer months, between mid-July to about mid-September, it storms every day, 4:30. So much so, you could set a watch by it. It was September 11th, 2011, the day after his 21st birthday. And Justin was on the water slide getting everyone off for the 4:30 storm. He encountered this group of kids that were living a life that was on its way to nowhere good, and they were going there about as fast as they could. And he stopped, and he looked at them, and he said, "You know, it's about time y'all got your life right with God, because you're never guaranteed tomorrow. In the blink of an eye, everything could be over." Now, teenagers don't like when you tell them stuff like that, but these kids never had a chance to say anything back to him, because moments later, standing in 2 feet of water, Justin was struck in the head by lightning, and it traveled through his body and stopped his heart instantly. When questioned by reporters, his dad had this to say about Justin. "He not only protected lives, but strived to enrich the souls of those around him." Strive to enrich the souls of those around him. I think we can all say that we want people to be able to say that about us. But if you were to get called home right now, would people be able to honestly say this about you? That you strived to enrich the souls of those around you? Do you take every opportunity that's laid before you to share your faith with everyone that you encounter? So I'm going to challenge you today same way that Justin challenged us. I challenge you to leave here and actually live this. I challenge you to make the most of each and every opportunity laid before you and live a life that not only you're proud of, but Christ is also proud of. We're going to close by singing this song that you probably don't know. It's called In the Blink of an Eye by Mercy Me. We used to sing this in our youth worship all the time. It was one of Justin's favorites. So please stand and join me the best you can in singing our closing song.